everybody. This is going to be a fabulous way.
Love Talk Radio.
Oh, technical difficulties, live radio. Okay. Now that we're all here, thank you so much for joining us. Whether you're one of our new family members or part of our growing about 70,000 listeners now, I just want to thank you. We really appreciate you sharing your shine with us. And our guest today is going to do exactly that. You are not going to be disappointed. I think every single person on planet Earth could benefit from this show today, because if you have a difficult person, if you have unwanted stress in your life, boy, are you going to learn something from today. Our guest is Sandra Crowe. And let me tell you about her if you don't already know who she is. She is, well, let's see, if you have difficult people in your life, unwanted stress, or you need some fresh ideas for better communication, Sandra Crowe is the best-selling author of Strangling, since strangling isn't an option. And that's why today is going to be absolutely informative, because we can't do that. Strangling isn't an option, if that isn't the clearest title. She has a new book followed up to that she's going to tell us about too. But Sandra has trained numerous people that you probably have already met, people in the federal and corporate organizations for over two decades. She has trained the Executive Office of the President. She's trained the NIH, the FBI, Marriott Hotel, Sony Corporation, the EPA, even television stations like the Discovery Channel. She's also a speaker for the National Speakers Association, NASA, Departments of Army and Navy. Oh, my goodness. Well, we are going to get some insider secrets today to what she trains people in these major corporations, and that's just naming a few organizations and corporations. She is very interested in helping us today create an awareness of ineffective behaviors and to also provide new methods and action steps that we can take to offset our behavior, redirecting it so that it can be more constructive, and certainly that will help us feel better. She's founder of Power Lunch, which has been featured in the Washington Post, the New York Times, a chicken soup for the soul for business. That's just a few that she's been highlighted in that you would know about in literature. She also has her own TV show called Stress Busters. That is definitely top rated. And she holds a number of degrees. She has a BA degree with honors from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She's also a certified Myers-Briggs indicator practitioner. She has a professional certified coaching degree with the International Coaching Federation. And she actually has many more degrees. But I think the best thing to do is direct you to www.pivpoint.com. PIVPOINT.com, because that's her website, and you're going to learn so much. You're going to love it, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to welcome this amazing speaker, Sandra Crowe. How are you, Sandra?
Hey, Deb. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
A few technical difficulties there this afternoon, but we're working through it.
You know what? Life has a few technical difficulties, so I think we can handle it.
My goodness. You know, sometimes when stuff like that happens to me, I'm like, okay, I have to keep it in perspective. If this is the worst thing that happens to me today, I'm doing pretty darn good. Because
there you
the big
go.
Picture. And
there
the big
you go.
Picture.
There you go. You got it. You're on your way.
Hey, see, I'm trying to learn from you already. And oh, my gosh, I tell you, you have a great sense of humor. Not only are you brilliant, super intelligent, but you're funny and lighthearted, which is really a great winning equation, which is why all these, you know, Office of Executive Branch of the President of the United States, please. I mean, how many people are speaking to organizations like you? It's really a privilege to have you share these things because they work. And
yeah.
I know that listeners are going to love this. And if you have a question, if you have a difficult person in your life, you can call 347-637-1318, and you can speak with Sandra, press pound 1, and that'll put you through to the switchboard. You know, what I love about your story, and again, your best-selling book, Since Strangling Isn't an Option, has just been followed up by I Didn't Sign Up for This. And I'm excited to share with listeners what they can expect in reading both of these books. But can you share with people what motivated you? What was the personal experience that motivated you to want to do this type of work and to write this type of book?
So let me talk in particular about the latest and greatest book, which is I Didn't Sign Up for This. It's actually just released 2 weeks ago, so it's brand new, and people are really interested in it now. So I just want to let people know that it is available now. It just came on Amazon. They can also get it on my website. But let me talk about I answer that question in the context of the latest book. I had an experience which I think a lot of people will either have kind of heard about, or they might know somebody who knows somebody who kind of heard this weird thing that happened to somebody. I had this really wild, weird, bizarre thing happen to me. In 2003, I was running high. I was at the height of my career. Since Strangling Isn't an Option was doing great. It was on all the bestseller lists. I was on, you know, national TV. I was traveling around the world speaking. I had just gotten back from Poland speaking at an international World Bank conference, and things were great. And I bought an old house in the spring of 2003 and fixed it up, and I moved in the fall of 2003. And, Deb, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, if you've ever found yourself kind of sensitive to certain smells or mm-hmm. things like that. But what happened was the night I moved into the house, I had just had like brand new carpeting put on. I had enamel paint that was in the house, and that because it was kind of cold and chilly and raining, all the workers that had been in the house that day closed all the doors and windows. Everything was sealed. And because I was just focused on getting my stuff in the house, I wasn't paying a lot of attention. I was running in and out of the house. Anyway, the moving was over. It was way late at night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm exhausted. Finally get in bed. You know that feeling of like finally having your body hit the bed after that deep exhaustion. I hit the bed, and all of a sudden I start to smell this toxic soup that had accumulated in the house from all the windows and doors and everything being closed. And I tried to distract myself from it because I was so tired. I just didn't want to get out of bed. But the smell became horrendous and literally overpowered me. And there was a moment where my body could not tolerate the smell anymore, and I screamed. I literally screamed because the toxins had penetrated my nervous system, and I started shaking uncontrollably because my body could literally not handle these toxins that were coming in it. I ran out of the house. I went back to the condo I just moved from. I spent the entire night throwing up, shaking, and being violently ill from this overdose of toxins in my system. The next day, I went back to the house, and this reaction I was having got worse and worse and worse, to the point where I could actually never, ever, ever be in the house again. I had to leave the house. And because I had already rented out the place that I had lived in beforehand, I became homeless. I could not live in the new house. I could not live in the old house. And I began to wander around because these chemicals that had infiltrated my system were so like impervious to anything else, that they literally had their way with me inside of me. They literally, like aliens, took over my body. And I could not breathe anywhere. I could not go into a restaurant. I could not go into a store, a mall, a hair salon, any kind of regular establishment. I could not do that for almost 2 years. I became homeless. I slept in my car. I slept outside. I wandered around. I had horrendous brain fog. I stayed in people's houses here and there, but most places made me sick. I went to stay with my mother for a while. I ended up staying with another girlfriend for a while. But everywhere I went, I got sick, and more sick. And then I went, people say, well, why do you need to go to a doctor? So I went to a doctor. The doctor said, we have no idea what this is. I went to the top allergist at Georgetown, because I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. went to the top allergist at Georgetown. I went to the top allergist at UVA Hospital down in Charlottesville, Virginia. I researched on the internet. Nobody knew what to do for this. Now, somebody actually identified what it was. I had described it to somebody over the phone, and she said, you've had a chemical injury where a chemical overpowers your system to the point where it literally takes over your body and you become sick by being exposed to anything else. We're talking about shampoos, perfumes, candles, everyday detergents, smells, dryer sheets, anything with any small or high degree level of toxicity. That simply smelling it would throw my body into almost convulsions. So I literally had to stay in the woods. I had to stay away from the world as we know it, or otherwise my body would go into these convulsions and shake uncontrollably. So I went into this almost like hibernation, yet out in the world at the same time. This went on for over a year. After about a year, I was able to move back into the condo that I had rented out, and I was very slowly, this was in 2005, able to finally, with some place I could actually stay and be safe, to very slowly and gradually have an amelioration happen in my physiology and be able to heal myself. And it was a slow process. It took a number of years after that, and I eventually came out. This is, now I'm going back to your question, this is the basis from which I didn't sign up for this was written. Because what I realized, Deb, is that, and this is true for everyone who's listening, that you may not have had my experience or anything near my experience, but I guarantee you that at some point in your life, you have felt extreme desperation. Whether it was because you didn't have a job and the money was flowing out much faster than it was coming in, whether you had a loss that was horrendously painful for your heart, whether you may have had a breakup of a relationship or someone who died or a pet who died that you love dearly and deeply, that out of these really horrendous, seemingly horrendous things happening in our life, we are left oftentimes with this desperation and the question of, what do I do now? What now? How do I dig my way out of this? And so I wrote, so out of that question of, you know, my own desperation, what do I do now? But is there a way that I could possibly help other people in their own desperation? That's how I didn't sign up for this was born. Because most of us, when we're in that scenario, it's usually something that happens to us, something that's inflicted upon us in some way. Not something we deliberately thought would happen, but something that literally happens to us. So how do we reconcile that, what do I do now, that desperation, that need for knowing that we have as human beings? How do we reconcile that with what is currently happening?
So, I have to tell you, that story is just mind-boggling. And I think anybody who's, you know, listening to you is saying, here's this woman who, again, as you said, top of your career, going really well, buying a new home, you were living the dream. And to just suddenly out of nowhere be a victim to this bizarre thing that couldn't even be diagnosed properly. I mean, talk about despair. I mean, that is just absolutely painful to hear you describe. And it wasn't something that went away in a day. I mean, you went through this sensitivity for a long while. And most people haven't had your experience, but I do agree that probably everybody, especially as you get a little older in life, something has happened to you that you never expected would ever happen. I know with me, I've had things that I've said, look, this is something that happens to other people that you see in the news. You know, this isn't supposed to be happening to me. And that is so true, how you segue your experience to what anybody else could relate to. And it's a tough thing. So,
yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, there's something interesting in what you're saying there, which is like how these events occur for us. So for some people, they occur gradually. For instance, if you have a loved one who's dying, you see the slow process of dying. Sometimes they occur in a moment if you have a car accident and, you know, one minute you're driving and the next minute you're in the hospital. So, and in my case, it was like that. One minute I was moving in and the next minute I was choking to death and then my life changed. So, so for all of us, it occurs differently, but the place inside of us where we feel it and experience it and ultimately dig through it is actually the same. And that's what I want to focus on with people is how do you dig through that place? Mm-hmm. How do you get on the other side of that?
Yeah, and I think that that's powerful, whether it's that situation or that difficult person. I mean, I think it all weaves together, you know, really seamlessly. So help us. You obviously have done this and succeeded, and you've written about it. So where do we begin with this? How do we start?
Yeah. So, the fundamental question, how do you start? So the first thing to start is, and I like the way you linked difficult people and situations together because I do put them in the same basket. And the reason for that is because both difficult people and difficult situations always, like once again, hit us in the same place, which is inside of us. And so that's the place where we begin to dig out. So an important distinction here is when something or someone impacts us in some way, we typically, and this is sort of our go-to kind of response, look for how do I change them? How do I change it? How do I change the circumstance? How do I get to the solution? So that's kind of our go-to way of thinking. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that it's not the first thing that you should do. So the first thing you should do, whether you're impacted by a difficult person or a difficult situation, is to ask yourself this question, how is this impacting me internally? In other words, what is this bringing up inside of me? And let me give you a little guidance and show people a way to actually answer that question. As human beings, we all want one of three things. And those three things are we either want control. When I say control, I mean control over our life, control over, you know, where things are going for us, control over what's happening. Some people have a stronger need for control than others. Some people, like, you know, want to control other people. Then you get the micromanagers. But at a fundamental level, we all want some control. Control takes us to the second thing that we want, which is safety. As human beings, we all want some degree of safety. Now, for some people, safety comes in the form of a relationship. Like, you know, for some women, if I have a man, then I'm safe. For some people, safety comes in the form of money. Now, I have a friend, and he's a very, very successful businessman, multimillionaire already. He thinks, you know, when I say multimillionaire, he's probably, you know, has a net worth of somewhere between 3 to 5 million. I don't think any of us would turn that down. And yet, he said, and he actually declared this, he said, I will not feel safe until I have $11 million. He actually said, I don't know how he came up with $11 million, but that was his thing. That's his thing of safety. So money for him and that pinpointed amount of money, he says, will bring him safety. Well, I haven't told him this, but bad news is he'll get $11 million and he still won't feel safe. He'll think it's 15 or 20. So, I mean, it's really true because, you know, ultimately we can't have safety in a green piece of paper. I mean, it certainly adds to our safety, but it doesn't give us the ultimate safety. But it's an illusion. We think that it's going to do that. So safety comes in all these different forms. And, you know, it could come with family. For everybody, it's different. Then the third thing that we want as human beings is approval. And approval can be, you know, approval of yourself, but most of us don't really have the true, deep self-approval, but we would like to have that. But approval is not just approval from other people, like, you know, your boss or your spouse or even your kids, but approval also includes a sense of belonging. Approval includes a sense of belonging, that we need to belong to other people. And by the way, if people want to do any research on these three core needs, a man named Lester Levinson back in the 1950s and 60s came up with this, and there were a couple of methodologies that were developed out of these three core needs that were discovered. One is called the Sedona method, another one's called the release technique, if people want to do any more research on that. But so out of this, this need for approval also that I just mentioned is it is a core tribal need. You know, people are asking the question, you know, where's your tribe or who's your tribe? We have this need for belonging, and the belonging includes the need for approval. If I belong to a certain tribe, then somehow, even if I act stupid or do weird things, I'm still in the tribe. I'm still somehow at my core approved of who I am. That's what we are all searching for. I mean, this past week, you know, when Obama made this declaration about gay rights and, you know, people, him actually approving the idea of, you know, gay people being married, in a sense, it was a declaration of approval to the entire gay community. You are seen. You are approved of. And most importantly, and this is what I think is the core for so many people, you are included. We are including you in the world that we live in because, you know, people that I know who are gay feel, you know, that when they can't, you know, express who they are, they feel excluded. They feel like they cannot belong. So that's one example of how we want to and need to feel included. So when you have a difficult situation, you have a difficult interaction with a difficult person, the first question to ask yourself is, how is this showing up in terms of these three things? What is it that it's bringing up for me that I'm not getting? So when a difficult person interacts with you, does it bring up a feeling of lack of control, a lack of safety, or a lack of feeling approved? And it could be all three, by the way. But it will be one of those three, typically, predominantly. So for instance, in my circumstance with, you know, that I dealt with, my big thing was safety. I could not feel safe anywhere in the world. And I don't know if people have had that experience of what it's like to not feel safe anywhere, any place. There's no place in the entire world of safety. Like temporarily I could have it in my car, but you know, what if I had the windows down and somebody came by and smoked a cigarette? Boom, that was destroyed. So where is that? So for you in your scenario, your situation with your difficulty or your difficult person, what is that bringing up for you? Is it, do they take away your feeling of control inside yourself? They take away that feeling of safety? They take away that feeling of being approved? Do you feel disapproved of by them? So what is that for you? So that's the first thing, and maybe people are already starting to feel that. So the thing about it is you actually want to release that feeling. And, you know, Deb, if it's okay, I could take people through a little exercise to support them in releasing that.
I think that would be terrific.
Okay. All right, cool. So what I'd like everyone to do is to think of something where you have some frustration. It could be with a difficult person, something you're not getting. Maybe it could even be as simple as, I'm not making the kind of money I want to make right now. Or it could be around your health, that your health isn't where you'd like it to be right now. It doesn't really matter what it is. Again, it's what it's bringing up in you. So think about that lack that you're feeling, that wanting that you're having, and feel which of the three is that bringing up in you. Is it bringing up a wanting control? You feeling like, God, I just want to make my body like I want it to be, or I want to make that person do something or act a certain way. So is it wanting control? Is it wanting safety? God, when I'm around them, I just don't feel very safe. I just, you know, feel like I can't handle myself, or I don't feel safe with my own body because I don't know what it's doing. You know, it's, you know, certain things are happening to it and I can't feel safe with my body. Or is it approval? God, I really wish this person would like me. Or I just want to like myself. I just want to love who I am and all that I am. So which of those three does that bring up? And as you bring it up, and this is a little counterintuitive, because most of us, what we want to do is we want to push that thing down. Oh, God, doop, you know, like a Homer Simpson, like, doop, there it goes, and I just want to push that feeling down. I don't want to feel that. So as soon as we feel that yucky, that frustration, that anxiety, that sadness, whatever that feeling associated with that that comes up, we typically tend to push it down. So I'm going to ask you right now to give yourself permission to actually bring up the very thing that you don't want to feel, whether that's the wanting control, wanting safety, wanting approval, and any feeling that goes along with that. Just give yourself permission to allow that to come up. And now, for most people, you'll feel it anywhere between, say, your neck and your kind of your solar plexus area. For most of it, it's in that kind of heart chest area. And that's a place where you're going to bring it up. And if it's painful, if it's uncomfortable, that's good. Let the uncomfortability arise, because that's the thing that you've been suppressing and acting around. That's the thing that you've been avoiding that has you do all those weird behaviors and act a certain way, that you're literally dancing around that thing in your chest. But what we want to do is actually bring it up and let it go. So go ahead and bring that up and just allow it to flourish. See it as an emotion that wants to leave. So basically, we know that all emotions want the full expression. They want to leave. So we're giving that permission to leave. And I'm going to help you allow that to leave by asking you inside yourself to do the following. Feel yourself, the throat and the heart are connected. Feel yourself bringing in the ah sound. You don't have to say it out loud. You can. The ah sound, if you feel the ah sound, even if you say it to yourself silently, what you will notice is that there is a reverberation in your neck and in your chest as you do the ah. Because what the ah does is it literally brings up the feeling and it opens it up in your heart. Now, where this comes from, if you want a little science on this, is all the great religions bring in the ah sound in some of their core words. So, for instance, if you're a Muslim and you're from Islam, you will hear the word Allah, Allah, Allah. And even if you know any Arabic, the word Fatah, Allah, Fatah, opens that up. If you are Jewish and you know the word Hashem, Hashem, and you can feel that Ha opening things up, you could say that. You could bring that to open it up. If you meditate, even the word Om, Om, has the reverberation of that ah sound. What we're doing here is opening and allowing. Even if you say the word allow, 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 what you do is you give your heart, you give your being, you give that feeling permission to arise and to leave you. And you can feel it going out through your chest. You can feel it going out through the opening in your chest. You can imagine there's like a hole in the front of your chest and you're just letting that out. If it's easier, you could also let it out through the back of your chest. Or you can let it out through your arms and through your legs. The idea is that this feeling, this emotion that you're feeling, is actually dissipating. It's leaving you. It's going through you. It's no longer you. There's no longer an identity with it. So you can let it go. So as you do that, you're opening, and as you're opening, the releasing starts automatically to happen. And then as you do that, you'll notice that you feel a little bit lighter. There's a levity that comes with that, that opens that. And as that levity increases, what you'll find is a decrease in the emotion. So those go together. The emotion leaves and you feel lighter. And they both happen essentially at the same time. Now, as you're sitting there with hopefully a feeling of more lightness, let's take that to the next level. And let's imagine, and I call this designing your emotions. And let's imagine right now that above your head is a shower head. This is if you were about to take a shower. And we're going to turn on that shower. And out of that shower, you're going to literally feel what you would like to feel. Like, so for most people, let's say it's peace. You like to feel peace. For some people, it's joy. You can bring in joy. But anything or happiness, something that you would assess as being a positive emotion. So imagine that peace, since we're talking about that, is just coming down through your being. and you feel it coming down through your head and through your nose and your sinuses, and feel that peace reverberating through your throat and coming down through your heart. Feel a certain peace at this moment in your heart, or restfulness, and feel it coming down through your solar plexus. And also down through your hips and through your legs and all the way through the floor, and feel that peace reverberating in your being. And now, to give us an extra dose of that, let's bring it back up through the floor and feel that sweet peace arising through your Achilles heels, the tendons, your calves, up through your knees, and up through your thighs. And even as that peace is coming through you, imagine that peace is actually mutating like love. So the peace is actually loving you. That peace is loving you. You are being loved by that peace. And feel it coming up through your thighs and up through, again, back through the core of your being. And anything that's out of balance is being loved by that peace. And feel it coming out through the core and the center of your being, up through your heart, once again, down through your arms, and up through your throat, and through the top of your head, back up to the heavens. So now you have this funnel of peace, this tunnel of peace, going down through your being and coming up through the core of your feet, through your whole body. And so it's like a river that's going through you, a river going down and a river coming up. And that peace is what dominates your being in this moment. Right now, in this moment, you have no need for control, no need for safety, and no need for approval. You have full control. You have a full sense of safety. And you are approved of, and you are loved by yourself and for yourself and by the universe as well. So feel that sense of well-being that goes with that arise in you right now. And feel at peace with that. And as you settle this, let me just explain to you, as you just sit in this, just for just another minute, let me just explain to you what we just did. So as your being is sitting in it, there's a place of understanding underneath it that can arise. We just did a technique that I created called For Yourself, and it's F-F-O-R-R. Is how it's spelled, F-F-O-R-R. And the For Yourself technique, it would stand for find it. So whatever that feeling is that you found that you wanted to get on the other side of, you found it. You felt it. You did the very thing we typically run from, which is actually feeling the feeling. You opened the feeling. You released the feeling, and then you ultimately rewired that feeling to give you a sense of calm, hopefully, that you're sitting in right now. And this is an amalgam. This technique that I created is an amalgam from a number of different schools. I used some of the aspects of matrix re-imprinting. I used some aspects of the release technique. I used some aspects from Sufi healing and a number of different other ones that you may or may not have heard of, just to really pull all this together to say, if you were out of sorts in a moment, what's something that you could do in a matter of a few minutes to get yourself in a different space and to give yourself permission to move through the thing that's really causing an interruption in how you want to be and how you want to function. So that technique, by the way, Deb, is in the book. I didn't sign up for this, which people can find on my website, which is better than the PIV point one, is actually sandracrow.com. My name, Sandra Crow, S A N D R CROWE.com, and of course it's on Amazon too. They can find it on Amazon. But that technique is something that I find is a really great washing technique when you want to go from one emotion to another. How are you feeling right now?
Hey, listen, it's a good thing that you're still talking on the show, because I'm just feeling much more relaxed. Everybody's,
yes.
Well, let's not all fall asleep though at the same time.
But you know,
yeah,
what?
No,
you can operate from this place.
It's amazing how, and I love how you name it for FFORR, the feel. The find, the felt, or feel it, I guess, release it.
Yeah, that's
it.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, or open, released, and rewind. What I'm impressed with is all of this research that you did, which is why you're you and why you teach and speak to so many people. And now with this unfortunate tragedy, I think it's actually some great things has come out of it, because you have this technique that you can teach so many people who need it. But your research, to put it down into three things, you know, what people want, the control, the safety, and the approval, and then creating a technique that addresses like an arrow each one.
Yeah.
But it
yes.
doesn't. So what if somebody is, you know, dealing with the difficulty in the control, the safety, the approval, you, through this four technique, have created the antibiotic to each one of those diseases in a way that is simple, easy, doesn't cost a lot of money. I mean, you know, I think it was Albert Einstein who said, you know, anybody can make something complex. It takes a genius to make something complex be understood simply. And it seems to me that this is what you've done with this technique. I mean, it's really amazing. Small things make a big difference.
Yes, yes. And, you know, if you think about it, every time you're upset, every time anybody who's listening, every time you're upset, if you bring it down to it, you are upset because one of these three things is out of balance. You are wanting one of these three things. And it is, you know, because we're human beings and we have egos, our egos have needs, and it's really an expression of the need of the ego to want one of these things. But the cool thing about it is, this is I'm going to give people another little thing they can do right now. If you find yourself, sometimes, you know, you'll see in a moment, oh wow, that's really interesting, I was just really wanting control there. And as soon as you see that you were wanting control, that you had a lack of control, that you were wanting control, you can actually, in many cases, just drop your behavior. Just drop that thing you were doing and let go of it so that you don't have to do it anymore and you can open up to do something else. And here's another thing along those lines that you can do. What I find is sometimes, because I'm wanting that control, I'm needing that security, I'm feeling that lack of approval. Try this right now, as you're sitting there. Just imagine yourself right now. This is a quick down and dirty thing, you know, people can do at their desk in their office. Imagine yourself being gifted control, like it's coming down through the universe and it's actually just going into your being. So you're actually giving yourself the very thing that you're feeling the lack of. And I have to say, I personally have had this experience, like, for instance, when I'm driving in traffic, and I don't know if you've ever had this experience, Deb, or maybe some of your listeners have. This is a common experience I think other people have, which is you're driving in traffic, you're on your way to a meeting, something that you have to get to at a certain time, and you hit traffic. Mm-hmm. And you kind of plan for traffic, but you didn't plan this much for traffic. And so what comes up is this, yikes, you can't control traffic, right? And, you know, yeah, maybe you can make a phone call and say I'm running late, but, you know, what if you're going to an interview and there's a panel of people, there's like five or six people, and they're, you know, interviewing you for a job you're dying to have, and you're going to be 15 or 20 minutes late. It's embarrassing, right? It's incredibly embarrassing, but you can't control the situation because here you are in traffic. And as a result of that, this panic ensues. This panic overcomes you, and it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And you find yourself going, you know, almost hyperventilating. So if you recognize in that moment, I am feeling a lack of control, a lack of control in this moment, what you can do is you can actually give yourself that feeling of control, that feeling of control. And here's something you can do on top of that, a little bonus on that, which is you can take your finger, your index finger, and you can hold your index finger. You can actually, just by doing that, that accesses a healing methodology called Jin Shin. And Jin Shin is kind of a cousin to acupuncture. It works on meridians of the body, and it usually it's sort of like a combination of acupuncture and acupressure. And Jin Shin accesses certain meridians are a little different than acupuncture, but nonetheless, it works. And you take your index finger, because each one of the fingers represents a particular emotion. So the index finger is fear. The middle finger is anger. No surprise, right? The ring finger would be sadness, and then the pinky would be thinking, like thinking too much. So if you notice, that just spelled fast. And that's how you remember it. So it's getting rid of your worry fast, F-A-S-T. And that first finger, if you hold on to that, that's fear. Like, I can't control things. Ah, I'm in fear. You hold on to that finger, and what you'll notice, if anybody's doing it right now, is that when you do that, you're breathing automatically starts to come down and you can calm yourself. I cannot tell you how many times I have done that in the car on the way to something or something else happened that was unpredictable, that caused a blimp in my schedule. And I did that and was able to calm myself so much more from doing that. And so that's something you can do in any circumstance. I think we've all had the traffic one, so it's a pretty common one. But we all have fear, and we have fear because typically one of these things what feels like they're being taken from us or compromised on a subtle level. So getting us back on track and to get out of that feeling of lack will help you to feel more centered and straight and secure and able to handle the situation that you're dealing with more clarity, because that's what we really want. We just want to be able to, like, handle what we're dealing with and be able to move through it, whether it's a quick thing like the traffic thing or whether it's ultimately something a little bit more profound.
I love what you're saying, and I have experienced that. I haven't learned it the way that you did with the fear, F-E-A-R, but I have learned that technique. What did you call it again, with touching the fingers?
Oh,
together?
Jin Shin? Yeah.
Yeah. I have had that come my way, and I do think that these things are all together, every little piece of sand builds the beach, and they're all really great together. But I really think this ties in well with what you originally stated about your friend with the $11 million and having a few million. This illusion, I mean, a lot of these things that we think make us feel in control, safety and approval, they're just illusions. And I think these techniques give us the breaks to stop, to have that awareness.
Yeah.
And that, you're only as sick as your secret. So when you have that awareness, you can accept it, and then you can take that new action. But how do you help people, and you mentioned the word rewire, how do you get them from that place of, okay, this is an acute, which is wonderful, this is an acute way of putting the brakes on, the tornado that's out of control inside of our souls. But ultimately, I think what you want people to do is to get that new way of thinking so that these illusions can be seen for what they are. So how do you help someone get that rewiring so that it becomes a natural part of a new behavior and a new way of thinking to generate this new way of feeling?
So the most important thing there to actually, not just rewire in the moment, but what you're talking about is essentially rewiring your being and your way of operating, is to have an intention to do that. So for a lot of people, we have like things that happen in our lives that really, you know, kind of alter our reality. But we try to go back and operate maybe the same way we did before when we're getting the message. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you can't really do things the way you did it before. So the most important thing is to have an intention to actually rewire. An intention that you put out, it could be, you know, it's a goal that you have with yourself, it's a goal that you have with somebody else, and to actually declare that intention, because declarations are really important. So it could be something you have with someone else. You want to actually declare that you have a new kind of relationship with somebody. And that sets the intention so that the rewiring can happen. You can do it with yourself, and you can say to yourself, you know, I intend, and by the way, just because you intend to do it doesn't mean that you're going to do it perfectly, but it's still your intention. I intend to live from a more aware place. I intend to live, as an example, from a more loving place. I intend to live from a more fearless place. So what that intention is, that intention will start the rewiring process. And then, so then once you make that intention, you can then begin to find the methodology that will work for you. So for some people, it's meditation. I know for myself, I meditated for 20 years, and you know, I had some wonderful experiences meditating, and I've investigated many, many different kinds of methodologies to do that. And so, so you can just find a methodology. So it might be meditation, for instance. You might find a particular technique that could support you in that, for instance. So there's a lot of things coming up. For instance, access consciousness is another one that's, you know, I'm sure you've heard a lot about, is one that's, you know, been coming up that people use also to help them access more of their subconscious and really clear a lot of the negativity so they can have their intention. So find a methodology like that that works for you, or a couple of them, and then just work that and let that be the thing that moves through you to have that intention come to fruition.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, I think that you mentioned a lot of different religions, and I know, you know, I think it is true. I have so many friends with so many different religions. I'm Catholic, so for me, a nice meditation, 15 or 20 minutes would be a rosary. But, you know, there are so many practices in virtually every religion that encourages, you know, be quiet and really be with yourself. And I think that, you know, that that's part of the problem in our fast-paced society, too. And I'm looking at the clock, and I know that I can't believe that we're running out of time, and there's so many wonderful things to cover with you, and this has just been so valuable. I mean, we could pay thousands of dollars to hear you speak at the FBI. We couldn't learn as much as we're getting here with this. I want to make sure people know how to contact you and the book. And, you know, another thing is, and I want to thank BTR for making you a pick of the day, so you'll be, you know, top featured all day tomorrow, as well as being 24/7 archive forever and ever. But, you know, a lot of moms and family people will be probably listening to this tomorrow. And I think what's really beautiful is that you've done some work speaking about this, dealing with bullying. And I think this is, you know, a really societal disease that's horrible. And you have something to say about that, don't you?
Yes. So the thing to be aware of with bullies is that bullies look for victims. And we talked a little bit about the need for control before. Bullies tend to have a lack of control, and so they look for ways to control other people. And so they look for victims. So one thing to be aware of with a bully is, you know, if somebody is bullying you, is that there's something inside of you that needs to strengthen. And I believe in all these situations, whether it's a difficult person, a bully, or whether it's a difficult, you know, person or situation that you're dealing with, it doesn't matter. These situations are looking to strengthen us in some way. So with a bully, you want to find out the place place inside of you that feels weak from that, and you want to look at that and be aware of that and ask yourself the question, how can I strengthen myself in the face of the bully? What is it that I'm losing? Am I losing control? Am I losing security? Am I losing the approval? What is it that makes me, if you're cowering as an example, what is it that makes me cower? And look at that, and then as you look at that and release that, now that brings in the opportunity for strength to arise. If you cannot find the strength inside yourself, there are two ways that you can access the strength. One is, remember a time when you felt really strong. Like, for instance, I have a dog, and if somebody tries to hurt my dog in some way, I get motherly with my dog, and I get really strong. So I might access one of those scenarios where I felt really strong. That I call that the internal warrior, where that arises. So that's one thing. If you're a mother, you can imagine someone hurting one of your children. That internal warrior will arise in you. That's the place you want to access when the bully comes your way, that strength, because you need to let them know there's no cheese here. You got to go somewhere else if you want to find a victim. The second thing you want to do is, if you find your belly button, two fingers below that belly button, that's where the center of your being is. That's, you know, if you do yoga or Pilates or martial arts, that's the place where people act from and around and organize themselves through. So just even focusing on that place can give you a centering awareness, attention, focus, and a place to act and move from that will also give you strength in the face of the bully. So those are a couple things that you can do right away to start strengthening yourself in the face of that bully.
Wow, you are just such a blessing. All the gifts and talents that you have, and it's like I said, it's painful to hear this tragedy that you went through with this health condition for so long, but out of that you became so much better, and you're helping all of us here really be able to deal with fear, deal with anxiety. And I love, and you have, that could be another show you'll have to come back for, talking about bullying, because, you know,
yeah,
I really think that this is something that needs to be addressed. And you have such a sense of humor, but you're so clear, and you make it so simple that I know people at the end of the show are going to be like, wow, I have done these techniques. I actually did an exercise. Sandra went through an exercise with us. If this wasn't the best hour, you could go to a therapist and pay $200 an hour. You could go listen to you for hundreds of dollars an hour. I mean, this was really life-changing. And I don't think that it's an accident somebody was listening to you today, Sandra. I know. I took notes, and it's a darn good thing we have this on replay, because I need to go back and listen to this again. Do you ever find that? You listen to something, and then you listen to it the second time, and you're like, wow, did I hear that? Or that just touched me in a different way? You know,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
And also, let me just add something to that. If people want to go and learn a little bit more, on my website, which is, again, Sandra Crowe, CROWE.com, SandraCrowe.com, there is a free chapter. If they sign up on my email list, there's a free chapter in my book that they can get. It's a chapter on expectations. And I wanted to give people that chapter because that's the chapter that I think, more than anything else, if we can shift our expectations around other people and how things happen, we will be ultimately happier. So you can get a free copy of that. And there's also an MP3 teleseminar I did on energy robbers, how people, you and I could do a whole show on that, how people steal our energy. So some of the ways that people can steal our energy and how what you can do to offset that. So you can go to my website, the Sandra Crowe, SandraCrowe.com, and you can sign up and get that, either one of those. You can have both of them, the chapter and the teleseminar.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, you've just got so much information. Well, I know that the second book of yours will be another bestseller, and this should be mandatory reading in schools. I'm serious. I think that our educational system needs to start teaching more of common sense things, you know, like you promote, and real world tools that we can apply immediately. And I think you offering this free chapter on expectations, I always thought they were premeditated resentments, is wonderful. You know, there's just,
yes,
you know, you could just make a show out of every single comment that you bring. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. So get the book again. And now you are on what you're, I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. I can see the BTR number flashing here. I'm having problems with the electronic conditions here today with this show. But
that's
we're going to get past through that, because what really matters is that people get the information from you. So I want to make sure they know they can get you on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you're on LinkedIn. Your website, sandracrow.com, is the best way. Amazon, you can get the links there. You can just Google you, and a lot of information comes up about you if they just even put your name in. But getting the free chapter, tell us any other thing that you want us to do, connect with, thought.
Well, I'd love to connect with people more and support them in whatever they're dealing with, because I help people a lot in their own frustrations. I think the biggest thing is just learning. Part of what I want to help people with is creating more awareness in managing their emotions, because it's as you were saying, it's the one thing we didn't get taught in school, and so we're kind of left to fend for ourselves. And as somebody who's really looked at this and studied this, I would like to support people in dealing with their own emotions, because I ultimately, this is my big declaration, I would like to live in a world where we love each other, where we experience love with one another, where we exchange love, and that be the place that we live from. And I think this is a way to do that. And I would like to connect with people more on my website, sandracrow.com, and hopefully be in touch with them there as well.
What a beautiful message to end on. Absolutely. And I love that declaration. We're all going to be declaring that. You know, we need the love. The love is definitely a better feeling than fear, anger, and insecurity. And you're certainly doing that. You're manifesting that for sure. So connect with Sandra. And another way that you can keep us going and growing is making sure that you share this show with a friend, so that you can share the shine that Sandra has given to light up your world. We're out of time, but I want to thank you for being a blessing. And remember, in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, to be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. Go out and make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know.